host has spent decades studying the Bible in the original languages. He holds degrees from the University of Wisconsin, Moody Bible Institute, Asbury Theological Seminary, and Bethel Theological Seminary. With the help of some of his friends, in 1994, Dr. Rako founded a national volunteer ministry to hunters. He is an author, dog trainer, and speaker. Tom served as a full-time pastor for 36 years. Now here is your host, Dr. Tom Rako.
Thanks for joining us here on the Rockdove Publications Quill. During today's program, we're going to be looking at warnings. I'll also be sharing from an upcoming book that'll contain a number of authors. And this entry is by Dan Ricks. He's a walleye guide. The book is titled Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern, and it should be available in the fall of 2024. I think you'll enjoy today's program. You know, today it seems like almost everything carries some type of warning. Some of these are, to put it bluntly, dumb. Take, for example, the words on a standard wire coat hanger, which states, "Caution, do not swallow." You know, frankly, until I saw that particular warning, I never once thought about swallowing a coat hanger. I guess I just never really saw the need. Then there's a warning on a chainsaw sticker that says, "Do not hold the wrong end of a chainsaw." Good advice, but probably not necessary. The fact is, there are a variety of ways in which warnings come our way. Warnings are communicated by such things as loud sirens, flashing lights, flags, speed limit signs, signs that promise huge fines, and big trucks or machinery that beep when backing up. There's all kinds of warnings. Even other creatures have ways of conveying warnings to us. A dog growls, a cat hisses, and skunks raise their tails, and rattlesnakes rattle. A number of years ago, my teenage daughter and I, Faith and I, were deer hunting in South Dakota, and although it was in October, it was unseasonably warm. Faith was participating in the youth rifle hunt, and I was using my longbow. We were in a prairie dog village located above a small grove of trees. It's a beautiful piece of public land that overlooks the mighty Missouri River, and I was searching for a good place for her to sit while I attempted to make a stalk through the grove of trees below. I eventually found what looked like a great place for her to set up and was about to sit down to make sure it was great when suddenly I began hearing this strange buzzing-type sound. My hearing's not what it once was, and next to where I was about to sit was a bush with some tiny berries, and although it was quite windy, the berries were not moving. Inwardly I thought, what is that loud buzzing sound? Fortunately, at that moment, Faith yelled, "Rattlesnake!" Both of us jumped back, and the big rattlesnake looped into a prairie dog hole. Faith explained that the large rattler was raised up and about to strike one of us in the leg, or perhaps me in the behind. And I'm grateful for the warnings that that rattlesnake gave. And I'm grateful for my teenage daughter that she yelled rattlesnake. Those warnings saved me from pain and perhaps lots of embarrassment. Because God cares about us, the Bible gives us lots of warnings as well. Jesus himself warned a religious leader named Nicodemus that a person cannot get into heaven unless they have been born again. He emphasized this need by repeating it to him. Jesus said, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." John chapter 3, verse 7. Later, the Apostle Paul pointed out that the historical record of events contained in the Old Testament should serve as a warning for every believer. After listing some of the sins the Israelites were guilty of committing, he then pointed out to the Christians in the city of Corinth, quote, "These things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did," unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Paul also told a young preacher named Timothy to be faithful in proclaiming the word of God. He then went on to explain why. He cautioned, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The New Testament writer of Hebrews also warns, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven?" Hebrews 12:25. Indeed, heavenly warnings should always be heeded. The disciple John warned of the need to be discerning. He said, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John 4:1. He did not want his readers to be deceived. Some of us get so used to seeing warning labels that we regularly ignore them. Indeed, some of those warnings are silly. However, those from rattlesnakes and those especially from the Word of God should be heeded. I trust that you will listen and look for those warnings and walk in His ways today. We'll be right back after this.
Coming soon from Rock Dove Publications, a fascinating new book titled Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern. These true stories of how God has worked in the lives of anglers is sure to inspire young and old alike. Discover how God used difficulties and even failures as a means of demonstrating His presence and power, not only in the past, but right up to the present day. Edited by Dr. Tom Rako. Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern contains stories written by various authors who share their supernatural experiences and encounters. The book also contains unique discussion questions with each entry. This makes Fishing Miracles an outstanding resource for individual or group Bible study at church, in the cabin, relaxing on a boat, or camped next to a fast-flowing trout stream. Watch for this new book coming soon on the Rock Dove Publications website, rockdove.com. Again, watch for Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern, by going to the Rock Dove Publications website, which is found at rockdove.com. Visit rockdove.com today.
This is an entry by Dan Ricks. He is a walleye guide, and the entry will be included in an upcoming book titled Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern, that will contain a variety of miracles that individuals have experienced. It'll be compiled and published by Rock Dove Publications. This entry, as I said, is by Dan Ricks. "I asked the men's group I'm a part of to pray that God would reveal Himself to me and show His power in a very real way. Here's what happened just 4 days later. On December 2, 2006, I pulled the boat down to the river. It was early morning. I was listening to a Christian radio station, and they announced the temperature was a chilly 5 degrees with a wind chill of 12 below. Nevertheless, I was eager to get on the water and do some walleye fishing. I backed the trailer into the water and fired up the boat motor. Having tied it up to the dock, I turned the graph to let things warm up while I parked the truck and got my cold weather clothes on. Walking back down to the boat, I slid most of the way on the ice that formed from pulling the trailer out of the water. The graph indicated the water temperature was 33.7 degrees. I thought, that's cold. It's going to be iced up soon. I headed upriver to a spot which the weekend before had produced some nice fish and plenty of action. I cranked the throttle wide open on the 60 horse and started breaking waves. Suddenly, the boat hit a submerged log and my body was airborne. I slammed into the freezing water and sank like a rock. I'd hit a submerged log. Three big strokes later, I broke the water surface and struggled to get a big breath of air, but then sank again. I fought to get off my big pack boots. When I got back to the surface, my limbs were numb and my face was freezing. My immediate thought was, get to the boat. But it was going wide open in a circle. I tried, but the waves the boat was making along with the waves from the wind were just too much. Also, I could very easily be run over by the boat. I turned and glanced towards shore, and it hit me. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die in this river over a bunch of stinking walleyes. For a few moments, I considered just breathing in water and letting myself drown. But I thought of my three grandkids, and I cried out to God, "Please, Lord, help me make it to shore, Lord. They need their grandpa." I flipped over to a back float and slowly paddled my way toward shore, trying my best to keep my head above water. My body was gasping and shaking due to the cold. I knew I had to get my breathing under control and try to relax. Waves of freezing water were crashing on my face. When I got water in my mouth, I swallowed it instead of trying to cough it up. I kept praying over and over again, "Lord, let me make it to shore." All of a sudden, I kicked the bottom and turned over and caught sight of two men on shore. They were yelling, "You can do it, come on." I got to about waist deep and I told them I couldn't go any further. My clothes were too heavy and I was overcome with exhaustion and cold. The two fellows ran in and got me up to the steps to a waiting squad car with the heat on high. The wife of one of the men who helped bring me out of the water got in the seat next to me and kept talking to me until the ambulance arrived. She told me she was making coffee when she heard a boat coming upriver. She couldn't believe someone was out when it was so cold. She got to her dining room window just in time to see me fly out of the boat and hit the water. She screamed to her husband, "Oh no, someone just flew out of a boat into the water." She called 911, and the dispatcher told her not to watch because in that cold water, he won't make it out. The Pierce County Water Patrol was called to drag for the body, and a Hastings, Minnesota ambulance was also called to pick the body up. She watched anyway while her husband and a neighbor friend ran down to the shore. At that time of year, there were no boats along the shore because they were all stored for winter. By the grace of God, they were there to pull me out of the water and help me up to the waiting squad car. After a short visit with the lady, the paramedics arrived and walked me up to the back of the ambulance. They stripped off my wet clothes and wrapped me in a pile of blankets. The paramedics were asking me questions and talking to me and laughing. I was telling them how big my God was and to call my wife to bring some dry clothes. When I got to the hospital, I was put in an air mattress that has thousands of holes which circulates warm air around the entire body. It's called the bear hugger, and it felt great. After being out of the water and under the bear hugger for an hour and a half, they took my core temperature, and it was still only 93 degrees. At 93 degrees, your organs are supposed to start shutting down. The doctor figured out my core temperature had been somewhere in the 80s when I was helped out of the water. While laying under the bear hugger, my daughter and grandson came to see me, and I was overwhelmed when I saw my grandson's face. Tears were flowing. It is hard to believe I almost lost my life and the privilege of having an impact on my grandkids' lives, let alone the rest of my family and friends. A Pierce County Water Patrol officer showed up to file a report and was amazed that I had survived. He told me that when the call came in stating that a guy flew out of his boat into the water and that he would need to drag for the body, he thought, "What in the world is a guy doing fishing on such a cold day anyway?" But when he was on his way to the river, he got a call that I had made it to shore and was on the way to the Hastings Hospital. After I was released from the hospital, 5 hours later, my two sons-in-law and I went back to the river and retrieved the boat. The next day, I couldn't move. I was sore from head to toe and had a hard time breathing. I ended up back in the emergency room. A week later, I was hospitalized again for further testing. After getting settled into my room, a nurse came in and stated, "You're that guy." I said, "What?" She said, "You're that guy that went swimming in the river." She then gave me a hug and said, "I can't wait to get home to tell my husband. He was one of the paramedics that picked you up that day." He said they got a call to pick up the body of a fisherman that had gone in the river. But when they got there, the guy was alive and laughing and telling them how big his God was. She then went on to say, "Tonight, when I get home, I'm going to tell him, you may have picked him up, but I am his nurse." I had about every test done that's possible. My file is a case study at the hospital, and many of the doctors around the hospital stopped by to say hi. They were amazed that with a core temperature in the 80s, no damage was done to any organs, and that I never lost consciousness. According to the world, I should not have survived. On March 6, 1968, 9 elite Marines trained as water survival instructors at the Marine Corps Physical Fitness Academy capsized while paddling a war canoe across the Potomac River. They wore sweatsuits. They had seat cushions, but no life jackets. The water temperature was 36 degrees Fahrenheit. None of these men were able to swim the 100 yards to shore. This is the bluntest of messages for all of us. Doctors stand amazed and just say that I'm one lucky guy to be alive. Yes, I am, but it's not luck. God spared my life once again. He is the reason I'm alive today. He showed me his power in a very real way. Friend, God wants a personal relationship with you. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? If you haven't, do so today. So writes Dan Ricks. He's a walleye guide. And that entry is included in an upcoming book scheduled for the fall of 2024 titled Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern, published by Rock Dove Publications. When we come back, I'll have a few words.
The Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guard Rail. If you have a desire to one day own a classy American-bred English pointer, the Quilted Arrow periodically has puppies available. Contact the Quilted Arrow to find out more. Or perhaps you already have a young pointer that needs help in becoming all they were meant to be. With a little investment, you can become your hunting partner's favorite trainer. There is a limited opportunity for hands-on coaching, but no worries. You can also schedule some personal FaceTime coaching. Again, if you have a strong interest in one day owning an American-bred English pointer, or want to take the next step in helping your bird dog be all that they were created to be, visit the Rock Dove Publications website at rockdove.com. Don't delay. Visit rockdove.com today.
Well, there's much more to Dan Ricks' story, how God worked in the lives of some of those that were involved in the rescue. And Dan would also be quick to tell you that he made some common foolish mistakes. He did not have the kill switch on when he was thrown out of the boat. The motor didn't shut down. He had a life jacket, but not on. And one of the other things that I know Dan regularly does now is when he wears his boots, he does not lace them up. Because in case something happens, he wants to get them off. But, you know, God spared him, and he shares this story, and he has a really powerful testimony. And so this story and others will be in an upcoming publication titled Fishing Miracles, Ancient and Modern, How God Has Used Fishing to Reveal Himself to Individuals. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Rock Dove Publications Quill, and we hope you will join us again next time.
You've been listening to the Rock Dove Publications podcast with your host, Dr. Tom Rako. This program has also been brought to you by The Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish, field-bred English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guardrail. Thank you so much for listening. Now, this is Beth Rako inviting you to join us again next time on the Rocked Up Publications podcast.